You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that has to use a special shampoo in the shower. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Samantha.
Oh, we have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over. But first, let's talk about some things we have been checking out.
Aside from itchy scalps.
Yeah, they say write what you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have beard shampoo.
You would have to.
Yeah, you would have to. Does it have conditioner in it is the question.
There's a separate conditioner.
Oh, there is a separate beard conditioner. Very nice. Good to know.
There's a lot of maintenance when it gets that size.
Got to keep all the birds out of it and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And Boba Fett.
See, that was a good Family Guy plot that was actually somewhat original.
Uh-huh.
Then they don't do that anymore.
No, not so much.
Anyway, let's
get into some things you guys have been checking out.
I played a new game this morning that just came out, like literally today.
Oh, cool. What was it?
Ion Fury from 3D Realms. It used to be called Ion Maiden until Iron Maiden had a crappy lawsuit and made them change the name of the game, even though the game had nothing to do with Iron Maiden and wasn't trampling on their copyright in any way. But that's beside the point. The game is a first-person shooter that's by not the people who made Duke Nukem 3D, but the same company.
Okay.
I don't know if all the same people are there or if some of them are, but it's actually running in the exact same engine as Duke Nukem 3D, so it's another build engine game.
Okay.
But they made it now. And it's really impressive, like, how big the levels are that run in this old engine.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it looks really good. And if you like old first-person shooters like that, and I love old first-person shooters like that, you're going to like this game. It's cool, has a good shotgun, which is the most important thing.
In your first-person shooter.
Yeah, in a first-person shooter. Also has like bowling bombs that are just round bombs you can roll across the floor at people. Not much in the way of story. It's like you're Shelley Bombshell Harrison out to stop an evil cult or something. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's cool to have a Duke Nukem style game with a female protagonist though, and she has all the same like dumb one-liners that Duke Nukem would say, but it's cooler because it's a lady.
Oh, that is cool.
And John St. John is the bad guy's voice, which is pretty cool.
That's cool. Because he was Duke Nukem, right?
Yeah, yep.
Oh, how the tables have turned.
Yeah. It's like a prequel to that game Bombshell that came out that nobody gave a crap about because it was bad. But this one's good. So.
Oh, well, there you go.
Kind of sounds familiar.
It was originally a Duke Nukem game, and then there was a toss-up about the rights to Duke Nukem. They didn't have them anymore. Gearbox did.
Right. So, I heard something about that. Yeah,
so they had to change the whole game, and that's where the Bombshell character came from.
Huh.
But yeah, check out. This game is good. It's like $25, and if you've ever liked Duke Nukem 3D or Blood or Shadow Warrior, any of those old-school first-person shooters, this will be right up your alley. I highly recommend.
Awesome. Seal of approval?
Yes.
What's it on?
PC.
Mm.
It's coming to console next year, I believe.
Mm.
Okay.
But right, fire up your little Steam box. And this one will run on my computer because it runs on an engine from 1997.
Awesome. Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun. Okay, I could do one thing that I checked out this week. I went to the theaters and saw Fast and the Furious Presents: Hobbs and Shaw. A sides movie in the Fast and the Furious film franchise.
I'm glad you kept going after you said Fast and the Furious :
That's good. Yeah. So this movie, I went into it thinking, okay, this is just going to be a dumb, just brain dead action movie with, you know,
like the last couple of Fast and the Furious movies.
Right. But at least The Rock is fun to watch, and Jason Statham can throw a good movie punch, and, you know, it's, you know, it'd be that. And it delivered exactly what I was hoping it would. It was just dumb fun. Like, it made me feel like I was watching an old 80s, like, canon Chuck Norris type, like, just, well, it's basically a buddy cop movie.
Yeah.
But the buddy cops hate each other for, like, 90% of it.
So a buddy cop movie.
Buddy cop movie. versus it's weird to think that in like the Fast and Furious timeline, like the first movie is basically it's a street racing heist. Well, there's like heist stuff in there, but it's mostly street racing with the FBI, but it's really grounded in like reality. Like, you know, it's all real stuff. And you get to this one, the most recent, where you have The Rock, who is larger, like twice the size of any man, and Jason Statham, who is less interesting Deadpool, basically, fighting against Idris Elba, who has a robot spine and crazy like robot powers and is bulletproof and can punch through brick walls.
He looks like he has one of the power suits from Wolfenstein.
Idris Elba is basically Luke Cage in this movie. Like, he's evil bulletproof, he punches through things, and like he has a computer in his brain that can analyze and like predict, you know, movements. And also he has a robot motorcycle that can flip around and bend so he can like slide underneath like cars and stuff. And like he can telepathically call the robot motorcycle to him.
Does it talk?
It doesn't talk, unfortunately. Aww. That would be, I mean, I,
messed up.
That
we
would be the best
it.
Part. But like
his name with Kit with one T.
Yeah. And he's voiced by Tim Curry.
Oh no, I wish. That'd be great. But no, there were a lot of cameos in this movie that I wasn't expecting. Ryan Reynolds shows up and has probably one of the best scenes. It's just him and The Rock and the little girl playing The Rock's daughter. There's a scene where they're like introducing, okay, The Rock, Mr. The Rock, this is what you're going to be doing in the movie, basically. And it's Ryan Reynolds going, oh, hey, this is my best buddy. We remember that time we served in the war? We were, you know, stationed down to this thing. And The Rock is like, no, this isn't right. And it's just Ryan Reynolds basically being Deadpooling off of The Rock. It's just saying the goofiest stuff, which was great. And then the next scene is literally the same scene with Jason Statham, but it's another guy telling, you know, giving him the information. The other guy was played by the guy who played Peter in Deadpool 2. The guy with the mustache, the normal guy.
The guy who just answered the ad.
Yeah.
Thought it'd be fun.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there, I'm watching this, and I'm watching some of the action, which looks really, really good. And I'm going, I bet this was done by the Deadpool 2 guys. And sure enough, it was directed and partially written by the folks who did Deadpool 2.
Tim Miller?
It wasn't Tim Miller.
That was Deadpool 1.
Yeah, no, Deadpool 2, I forget the director's name, but he did John Wick 2 and also was Kung Fu Brian in an episode of Power Rangers Rescue Force, I think, something like that. He was like a one-time, one-off villain thing. But, oh, he was also Terry Bogard in that really bad King of Fighters live action movie.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But anyway, it was really enjoyable. I don't know what I was expecting. There was a lot of cars in this movie.
I mean, it's a Fast and the Furious film.
But it's like, you know, it's a Fast and the Furious side film. So I was thinking it definitely leaned more on like the action and the fight scenes and spy stuff. But like 45 minutes in, kind of went, man, there's a lot of cars.
There's a lot of driving in this movie.
There's a lot of driving. They're going to places in this movie. Oh, Helen Mirren is in this movie. She shows up.
Huh.
The Rock's best buddy, best friend, Kevin Hart, has a cameo in this movie.
Of course he does. Did he make fun of him for being short and small?
Oh, yeah. That's probably most of the jokes. Well, they also make the jokes that, oh, he's an air marshal.
Oh.
Kevin Hart, the tiny air marshal. But yeah, it was...
I don't even know why Kevin Hart and The Rock are friends, because he teases him like incessantly.
Well, Kevin Hart knows that The Rock can get him halfway decent movies, basically. But overall, if you have a few bucks and it's in like a second run theater, like for $5, it's worth seeing it. It's worth seeing it on the big screen just because the action is, it looks that good. And they 100% set it up for Hobbs and Shaw too.
That's like one of the reasons like I love Pacific Rim. It's not a good movie. It's just a dumb, fun movie.
Yeah.
Two Hobbs, two Shaw.
Two Hobbs, two Shaw. Hobbs and Shaw, Tokyo Drift.
Yeah. 24 Jump Street, Hobbs and Shaw.
Well, in this, Ryan Reynolds' character's last name is Locke. You only know him by Locke. And I was desperately hoping that the guy who played Peter, the other guy, his last name is Lode, so they could do Hobbs and Shaw 2, Locke and Lode. Because that would just be the perfect amount of stupid this movie.
It could have been Keegan-Michael Key.
Oh, yeah. Lock and Key. Yes. Oh, that would be perfect.
They're experts into getting into places.
But yeah, it was just so dumb. And sometimes
You just
sometimes
need
you just need dumb. Sometimes you don't need to think about a movie. And I mean, I know what that makes most folks go, oh, it's wasting your time, you know, watch things that, you know, are challenging to your whatever. But sometimes you just want dumb explosions and The Rock punching people. And also they go to Samoa and a Samoan tribe with like ancient weapons, like hand weapons, takes down a bunch of military people while Idris Elba's riding a robot motorcycle in the background, just whipping around. It's just fun. It's just stupid fun. I don't know.
You know, it's kind of weird. Like, I watched a really old wrestling video the other day, like when The Rock first started.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, he used to be so small.
Yeah, he used to be a tiny guy. Or, I mean, comparatively a tiny guy.
I mean, yeah, he was always a larger man, but...
Mm-hmm.
Now he's just like, he's more shoulder neck muscles than man.
Back like, in the day when everybody was smelling what he was cooking.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm glad he trademarked that face, though, because he uses it in everything now.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And the fact that in Jumanji 2, they make fun of it.
Oh, yeah. No, he makes fun of that face in this movie,
oh,
too.
He?
At one point, he's telling his daughter, you know, hey, I'm going to be gone over the phone. Hey, I'm going to be gone for a while and stuff like that. And you're going to stay with, you know, this, that, or the other, you know, aunt or friend or whatever. And she goes, I know you're lying to me. You're making that face. And he goes, I don't know. What face are you talking about? And she goes, I know what you're talking about. You know what I mean. And they get through the rest of the conversation. And he goes, and one more thing. And he does the
face.
He does the eyebrow thing. They're on FaceTime. And, oh. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a kind of a cute little thing.
Yeah. Who would have thought, like, if you would have said, I don't know, 10 years ago or so, like, The Rock was going to be a fun actor?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like, who would have thought the Scorpion King from
the Mummy
King.
2?
The CG Scorpion King from the Mummy 2.
That movie was not good.
No.
The Scorpion King wasn't that good. It was like pseudo-Egyptian Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah.
Like in a fun way, though.
Didn't they do a sequel to The Scorpion King?
Yeah, and he's not even in it.
With Billy Zane in it?
It was like a straight-to-DVD thing.
Yeah,
it was like
it
was like a Scorpion King prequel or something stupid.
The Mummy 2 seemed more like a vehicle for Brendan Fraser and what's-her-name to just constantly
Rachel Weisz.
Yeah, Rachel Weisz, just to constantly make out on camera.
Well, in Brendan Fraser's defense, I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, if you're gonna... Yeah.
Back when Brendan Fraser actually made good movies.
He's great in Doom Patrol.
It's not his fault.
He's... Yeah.
He looked good in Doom Patrol. Like, all the clips I've seen, I'm like, man, I want to watch that show.
Oh, he looks terrible in Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
The actor in the suit looks good. Like, when they do live-action shots of his character, they cast him because of, one, Brendan Fraser's voice, and two, because he's gained a few pounds, and he looks like Ricky Bobby if he let himself go.
Aww.
And now we'll never have Brendan Fraser on this show. George of the Jungle.
Dudley Do-Right. He did a Dudley Do-Right movie.
Dudley Do-Right wasn't great. George of the Jungle, I actually enjoyed that one quite
a bit.
I liked
the first one.
Oh, yeah, the first one. Yeah, the second one
doesn't count.
It doesn't count. We don't talk about the second one.
Remember when they made a Rocky and Bullwinkle movie?
I'd rather not.
There were points. The movie was bad. That movie was bad. But, like, there were points in that were kind of enjoyable. It had Kanan and Kel in it. That's fun. They got June Foray to do the voice of Rocky the Flying Squirrel, so they didn't screw that up. Jason Alexander and Thor's mom... I can't think of the name.
Oh.
And I refuse to look it up because that's
Darn
cheating.
Darn it.
Rene Russo.
Yes.
They were great as Boris and Natasha.
Moose and Squirrel.
Yeah. That movie had some redeeming qualities to it.
Hear me out. New Rocky and Bullwinkle. Natasha is Natasha Lyonne. What? They have the same name, and also she should be in all the movies because she's hilarious. Natasha Lyonne.
I don't know who that is.
Russian Doll.
I haven't watched it.
But I'm a cheerleader.
Orange is the New Black.
She was in like one of the first American Pie movies, I think.
Yes. I'm sure there's the age like fine wine.
Yeah, she's actually in a movie that I like a lot called Comic Book Villains, about these feuding comic book stores trying to get this priceless collection from like a guy who died. And it turns into like a heist thing.
Mm.
And like it's a dark comedy.
No.
Yeah.
She's a fantastic actress.
Yeah, she's a good actress.
Also, if you haven't seen Russian Doll, like, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I watched Rocco last night. The Rocco's Modern Life.
Let's talk about
that. Yeah, because we at least both watched it.
And I know I know the main thrust of the movie, and I planned on watching it this weekend.
Thrust. There's a rocket in it.
It's great. The new Rocco movie is fantastic. If you ever had any kind of
love for the series,
this is just, it's perfect. It couldn't be any better.
Like, it says a lot of things, and like, Rocco always had a thing where it like kind of like beat you over the head sometimes about like what it's trying to say.
Well, it's about modern life, and it wouldn't be Rocco's Modern Life if they didn't tackle modern issue.
Well, not just that, but it was also like,
it's about change and adjusting to change right?
And people stuck in nostalgia.
Right. Yeah, it seemed, from what I heard about the plot of it, it almost seemed like Rocco is the fans kind of stuck in the past a little bit.
And Rocco is almost a voice for online trolls that are mad they whenever they bring anything back and it's slightly different.
Yeah.
The whole gist of the movie is that Rocco, Filbert, and Heifer were stuck in space since their show ended for 20 years. Because the last episode of the show, that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come back because Heifer had the remote for the rocket stuck in his butt crack for 20 years. And Filbert and Heifer adjust to the current day fine, but Rocco doesn't take to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to cling on to his favorite show, The Fatheads.
That hasn't been on in years.
That hasn't been on in years, not even in reruns, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So they go on this journey to find the guy that makes the show, The Fatheads, Ralph Bighead, which is a character that showed up in two or three of the show's best episodes, actually.
Oh, Wacky Dilly.
Yeah. And I Have No Son, which I watched this morning.
Yeah.
And then they go find Ralph Bighead, and it turns out Ralph Bighead is now Rachel Bighead. And while Rocco has to deal with the changing of his favorite show, Ed Bighead has to deal with the fact that he now has a daughter.
Yeah, it seems like there's a cool parallel between Rocco and Mr. Bighead in this, that like both of them are like resistant
to change.
But no, that's interesting. Yeah,
I was actually really happy because I feel like they dealt with a sensitive topic in a very cool manner.
Yeah, they did it as best they possibly could have.
Mm-hmm.
I know Joe Murray, the creator of the show, had people from GLAAD come in as consultants to make sure that he did it right. And he did. And he still voices the character like he did in the original series.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's for 44 minutes. It was good.
Yeah, I almost wish it was long, like full movie length. And there's so many callbacks to the original series, but not so much that they get in the way of the story.
No.
Okay.
I mean, you basically almost see every character who's almost
ever been on there.
Yeah. Even like the foot guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the foot guy.
Yep, foot guy.
Peaches. Which is the devil. What Nickelodeon made them call the devil.
Oh, yeah. Really, really big man? Does he show up?
He shows up at the very beginning.
Oh, really? Okay. Right on.
They even do a Star Wars crawl joke that's actually funny.
Really?
Like, a lot of their jokes seem like, that's kind of hackneyed old joke, but they do them in a way that, like, makes them funny again. Like the Starbucks being across the street from a Starbucks joke.
Oh.
Like, that's been done to death. Rocco and Heifer and Filbert are just so excited and thrilled to go to the Starbucks and then run across the street to the other Starbucks that it makes it funny, even though it's a tired gag.
Like, they're all, like, in, like, sensory overload of the new millennium.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, Filbert and Heifer, like, amalgamate to it, like, almost immediately.
Yeah. A B-plot of the film is that Filbert is streaming everything he's doing on like Twitch or whatever.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, he's got like this head mounted thing.
That's great. Yeah, that makes sense.
He's like, I hope I can meet my five loyal followers. Kind of like this show.
Yeah. His username's Fishsticks95, which is pretty funny.
Like, you see, like, a couple of Heifer's family. Like, you see his adopted mom and then the ghost of his adopted grandpa.
Yeah, they kill off his grandpa, but he's still hanging around as a ghost.
He's like, back in my day, when you died, you were dead. Oh, it was so good though.
Oh, it was perfect. It was even like I knew it was gonna be good. I had faith in Joe Murray.
Yeah, same here.
But it was even better than I imagined.
Like they work in like the opening sequence of the TV show into the movie as a scene of Rocco getting sensory overload from like this new world.
Oh, interesting.
Like it's not so much like it's like the opening and then it's the movie. It's like no, it's worked into the movie.
Making me want to watch it again. Like I like really loved it, and I've always been a huge fan of Rocco. Oh, that was probably one of my favorite Nicktoons, if not my most favorite.
It's yeah, I think it might. Yeah,
I mean I love Ren and Stimpy, but that's kind of problematic now.
Yeah,
a little bit.
You think?
Yeah,
as long as you watch the games animation episodes, you're okay. You're in the clear.
Now, did this special, do you think it opened the door for like a new series, or did it just kind of wrap things up?
I mean, I wouldn't say it wrapped things up, but it didn't leave it open for anything else either. It was a contained story.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And honestly, I don't think it needs to have any more. Like, I like the show and all, and I like the special, but I'm not exactly chomping at the bit for more Rocco, though.
Oh, I'd love it if they did more, but...
Like, what if they said... Okay, we can do one Rocco short movie like a year.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah, I'd watch it.
Yeah, you just wouldn't want to get like too mired into the series where it starts making, you start making bad episodes.
It's probably too expensive to do a full series. It looks great too.
Oh, yeah.
That's the other thing. Like, it looks like cell animation like the original show.
Oh, really?
It looks better than the original show, to be completely honest.
Oh, man. There's like a really hilarious part where like, because one of the cruxes is like, they want to bring back the fatheads. And so they hire a bunch of computer programmers to make CGI fatheads.
Who are managed by the Chameleon Brothers.
Oh, really?
Who I didn't necessarily expect to come back for more than a cameo.
Yeah.
They were there.
Yeah, and like doing their really dumb accents and everything. And they're like, they're sitting there and like Ed's watching them make, it's like, shouldn't they have like pencils and paper? He goes, no, we computers, we just do it in the computer now. And like you see them all coding.
Yeah, we have such good computers. And they show a little bit of the CGI fat heads and it's awful.
Like it looked like the Curse of Ramesses from like Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was, like, that level of, like, weird...
I was gonna say it looked like a Blue Sky movie. The Minions people. Oh. Or no, that's Illumination.
That's Illumination.
Blue Sky is even a step down from there, I think.
Yeah.
it was like, oh, man. There's, like, but yeah, there's, like, everybody's in this freaking movie. Like, they even go to the comic shop where Rocco used to work. He's like, my old job. And he's like, wait, where are the comics?
Well, yeah, because it's a 3D printing machine that 3D prints out a comic.
Oh,
that's
really?
That's what the comic book store is.
Yeah, it was just printing out a really, really big man comic.
Oh, nice.
There's a little bit of gross out humor in there, too, because that was a major component of the original
that's
show.
Rocco. Yeah, that's Rocco.
Like, Ed's boss is that guy that's constantly
picking
his
nose.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, he's got like a jar of boogers and stuff. It's so gross.
Yeah. So it has, the Conglomo Corporation, is that part
of
the...
Oh, yeah, it's a major part of the plot.
They're the ones bringing the show back.
Yeah.
Oh, they are, okay.
Because Ed made a computing error in their financial reports or whatever and made them bankrupt.
Oh.
Because of Rocco, kind of. Like, their rocket goes by in the background and it knocks something down. And so it's kind of also Rocco's fault.
Which I guess makes sense with the show, yeah.
There's a few really like tongue in cheek jokes about Ed and Bev's married.
Oh, they're
life.
Very active marriage, which has always been a
it's
running
always
gag.
Been a thing.
In the show.
Oh
yeah.
Man, that popsicle joke though, it killed me.
They were always like surprised. They would get away with a lot with the big heads.
They did, yeah.
And the big heads were always such a big part of the show too.
Yeah, and like. Mr. Bighead's like so happy, like he's singing a song as he's driving back. He's on his lunch from work, and he's like, "I'm so glad Rocco's been gone for 20 years."
Yeah. And there is a song in the middle, yeah.
Yeah, and then Rocco shows up, and he's like, Yeah, but it's a really good special, like especially if you were like a fan of the show or grew up watching the show like we did. It hits all the right notes.
I hope the Zim movie is
good. Oh, I know.
Good.
That's what I was just getting ready to say. I'm like, Zim comes out like in a couple of days, and I'm like...
It'll be out by the time this airs.
Yeah. And I'm like, man, I want you to be good. Please.
The comics aren't reassuring. I mean, they're not bad. I don't want to say they're bad because they're not bad.
They're not bad.
They're just not as good as the show was.
Yeah, and I don't know. Jonan Vasquez's humor, I don't know if it holds up as well today as it did then.
I mean, it's been a long time since I've watched Zim.
Yeah.
So I can't say whether it holds up or not. I want to feel like it does.
Like, I do kind of have a bit of a rose-tinted glasses on it because it's been a while since I watched
same
it
here.
Too.
Yeah.
I mean, he does great stuff like have lasers appear in the background of his shop for no reason. And
well, yeah, that's cool. I'm just a little concerned that Vasquez has like 15 years of like baggage about his show that got canceled and how he hasn't done a whole lot since.
He really
that he
hasn't.
Could bring into this series, and he's never been shy about just putting things he doesn't like, just laying them right out there.
Yeah.
Like, so, I'm not even sure he's really done a comic in a while.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like himself. Well, I mean, he did do a guest episode of
Bravest Warriors,
yes.
And it was very good. It was
and creepy.
It was probably the best episode of that show I ever saw.
And it was super messed up and creepy, which is a huge draw of Zim,
mm-hmm.
especially compared to the rest of his body of work.
So, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into some news.
Hey, everybody, we're back. That was Love Shack by the B-52s, and we are now going to talk about news. We have just so much news.
We
just
have so much
news.
Absolutely. Just a massive pile of news.
We definitely won't be stretching it to complete this whole half hour of show.
Absolutely will not be stalling for time. Zero stalling.
No stalling for time.
During this,
we spared no expense.
None.
We're going to be lucky if we get all this news in, let me tell you.
I tell you what.
Tell you what.
Just so much news bursting at the seams of news. But hey, let's go ahead and talk about
the news.
The
everybody.
News. Everybody, let's talk about the news. No, so this is the one that I'm probably the most excited for on our list of news for the week. There is a trailer for a Netflix doc, like a biopic kind of movie.
Sort of.
Like a comedy biopic called Dolomite Is My Name. It's starring Eddie Murphy. So Eddie Murphy's coming back. He's finally not just going to be Donkey, because that's kind of what he's been relegated to for a while.
They let him out of Norbit prison.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, geez, Norbert.
Oh, what was the one where he was like a bunch of tiny aliens inside of the giant?
Meet Dave.
Yeah, that one was pretty bad too.
Pluto Nash.
But yeah, so
yeah,
this,
I guess Pluto Nash prison might be more likely.
Yeah, Pluto Nash prison is, yeah. Hey, Bowfinger was pretty good though. The one with Steve Martin, where they're making a low budget movie.
Oh, yeah.
And Eddie Murphy plays two parts because, of course, Eddie Murphy plays two parts. But no, Dolomite Is My Name is going to be coming to Netflix. It's Murphy and also Wesley Snipes is going to be in it. Keegan-Michael Key has a part in it.
That's the second time we've mentioned him this episode.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, he's a good guy.
Yeah, there's just so many kind
people.
Of big name actor, like, what's his name?
Snoop
Craig Robinson, Snoop Dogg is in it. Yeah, this is...
Craig Robinson is underrated.
He is.
He's very funny.
He really is. But the movie is about the actor, singer, rapper, comedian, dancer, Rudy Ray Moore, who... I'm a fan of Rudy Ray Moore. We've known about... Mr. Moore and the Dolomite character for some time. Yeah.
And characters that are not Dolomite that are Dolomite.
Who might as well be Dolomite.
That was one of the first things we kind of like all
bonded
over was Dolomite and as the human tornado.
The human tornado. Yeah. So Rudy Ray Moore was this stand-up comedian in the 70s. He created this stage persona, Dolomite, who is supposed to be this larger-than-life pimp character, and he like
pimp
karate
kung fu master
kung fu pimp
kung fu pimp basically, and he sold a bunch of albums under as Dolomite. The filthy, absolutely filthy, like you think Richard Pryor said some stuff, like Rudy Ray Moore is like, oh, some of that stuff is, you just can't, I have trouble listening to it, it's rough stuff.
just saying the title of the album would be questionable on
there. Are some that we just we can't say like any of the titles of any of his albums. It's that bad. But in the he wanted to try to boost his popularity because he was kind of struggling a little
basically
bit.
Everything it seemed like he did was like the strive for fame. Like was, everything was like next grift.
Next grift, I guess, is one way of putting it. The biggest problem was he couldn't sell his albums. His albums couldn't be put out in record stores. Like they were sold in like brown paper bags, like that were hidden underneath the cash register sort of thing because you couldn't.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't set his stuff out.
They were obscene.
They were incredibly obscene. So he had this idea. I'm going to make a movie. We're going to make a movie of the Dolomite character. And their movies are laughably bad, like super low budget,
like when
terrible.
When you think of like the 70s era of those films, like...
Okay, when you think of... There's a genre of film. It's called blaxploitation.
Yes.
Or, you know, it's a style of like low budget filmmaking that was directed primarily at the African-American market. Oddly enough, the name blaxploitation didn't come from, you know, it's not a modern day term. It was actually created by the NAACP because they didn't like that style of film. They were constantly trying to get, you know, films like Shaft and Superfly. And,
yeah, they feel like it created
like a stereotype kind of thing. Yeah, they were thinking that, you know, it was causing negative feedback in the community. Which
I mean, if that's the only representation you're getting, and it was
at the time,
kind of an issue.
Yeah, but the genre of film also saved a lot of movie studios back in the 70s because big budget films were not selling. And then you have these movies like Shaft where you can make it for $10,000 and make about $5 million back in revenue. Like it saved a ton of studios. So there is a cultural importance to the style of film. This kind of came near the tail end of that. And Rudy Ray wanted to definitely cash in on that. He loved Kung Fu. Everything he said rhymed. There are multiple love scenes that if you've seen Rudy Ray Moore, he is not an attractive dude. So
he's not even a fit dude.
No, not even a little bit. But the best way I can describe it is like watching the Room version of Shaft.
Yeah. It's the Room if the Room just wanted you to have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. And this biopic looks like it's going to cover the creation of the Dolomite character and through the making of the first movie.
Maybe it's like a little bit of like a The Disaster Artist.
It's the way it's being told is more along the lines of The Disaster Artist, or maybe like Ed Wood. And less like Ray or like
an actual biopic.
Actual biopic, yeah. But this looks hilarious.
There's so many, and it's like Eddie Murphy kind of getting back to like his 80s roots a little bit, where he was a little raunchier of a comedian.
Oh yeah,
like. Eddie Murphy wouldn't have been my first choice for Dolomite, although I don't know who would be, because Rudy Ray Moore is Rudy Ray Moore.
Basically,
but,
yeah.
He looks like he's doing a real good job. Like, I'm surprised.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. I'll be interested to see how much of Moore's, like, actual, like, life backstory this movie goes into, because when...
He's such a larger-than-life character.
He was incredibly larger-than-life, yeah. And part of that larger-than-life, you know, persona was that he didn't talk about his backstory. Rudy Ray died in 2008. He actually died and is buried in Akron. Like he lived in Cleveland for a long time. I mean, he eventually made it out to LA and that's where he made the movies and things, but he's basically an Ohio guy, but he was very guarded about his home life because he didn't want that to influence his stage persona.
Basically he was Dolomite.
When people saw him, he was Dolomite. It was almost like, okay, this is a reference that almost no one will get, but like Andy Kaufman, it's like if Andy Kaufman only showed up as Tony Clifton in like out in public, like he only showed up as another character and didn't have any kind of like, you know, you didn't know anything about the actual person. But I'm super excited for this film.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely looks like a watch.
And it's is it just coming to Netflix or is it theaters?
It is getting a very limited theatrical run, but it is being released day and date with the Netflix I think what it is it was made by Netflix. Sometimes they don't just produce their own independent stuff. They also buy like films that were made in by studios, but the studios decide, I don't think we're going to see a return on investment. We don't see this movie
kind of like
making a bunch of money.
Kind of like a
Rocco movie.
Well, yeah, kind of,
that,
yeah.
But what was that one with the North Korea thing?
Crazy Rich Asians?
No, that got made and made a ton of money.
That's right, that one did. There was one that came
Seth Rogen and James Franco.
The Interview?
The Interview.
Yeah, something like that. Or I was thinking Crazy Rich Asians. There's another movie. I don't remember what it's called, but it's a romantic comedy that was released about a month or two ago.
Always Be My Maybe.
That's it. Yeah, that was one where it was produced by a larger studio, and they decided we're not going to release this to theaters. And Netflix was like, great, we'll just scoop it up.
And apparently
it's not like Netflix don't have money.
Apparently it's very good.
It's pretty good. I've watched maybe 85% of it, the tail end of it, but it was very good. I liked it quite a bit, and that's usually not my style of movie.
I like Randall Park. He's pretty funny in everything.
Yeah,
he's by far I was gonna say he's the best character on Fresh Off the Boat, but he's not. That's Jessica Wong.
But anyway, along with this Dolomite Is My Name movie, side kind of news thing, Eddie Murphy apparently is getting back into stand-up. Which is pretty cool. And I guess he signed like a 7 special deal with Netflix. So he's going to be producing like more stand-up
specials and stuff. A lot of bigger comedians have been doing that lately.
Well, Netflix will give a comedy special to anybody.
Like
mine's coming out here in a couple of weeks.
Like there's Bo Burnham and Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
And there's a whole tab for stand-up comedy on there now.
Do people watch stand-up on Netflix?
I have every once in a while. It doesn't. Yeah, I have to be in a mood to watch stand-up. Yeah.
Like if I just kind of like I want something like I don't necessarily have to watch per se.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched a ton of stand-up as a kid.
All the time.
Yeah,
it was always
too,
yeah,
but
it was
I don't anymore.
On.
I don't know why.
Like Carlin stand-up and Eddie Murphy Raw, which I honestly don't know how much of his original act could like fly today.
No.
I watched a ton of Sinbad.
Lots of Sinbad.
A ton of Sinbad.
Like a running joke like in my household was Sinbad telling the story about how his mom had a rubber arm.
Oh yeah.
And anytime you get in trouble and you try to run away, she'd just reach out and grab you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you run from me.
Yeah.
Did you watch a lot of stand-up?
Yeah.
You don't seem to ever want to watch stand-up. Do you not like it anymore or just not never in the mood?
It's never in the mood.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be in a certain mood for it.
Mm-hmm.
Or the one where Sinbad talks about his college roommate who got high and imagined his legs ran away.
Yeah.
And he told him like, oh man, sorry,
Sinbad,
your legs
get him.
Your legs got run over by a car.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, yeah.
I always really liked Sinbad.
I did too. I wish he did more stuff.
Like I feel like
other than that death hoax a few years ago.
Right.
But that Real Good Genie movie, he was definitely in.
It was definitely in. It actually wasn't Shaq.
Yeah.
It was definitely Sinbad and not Shaq that was in Kazam.
Sinbad was kind of like, he like made a name for himself almost being like a bit character in a bunch of movies in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. He was in First Kid.
Coneheads.
That sounds like a real blank check of a movie. First Kid.
Yeah, it kind of is. It's Sinbad as the Secret Service agent dedicated to watching the president's son, and hijinks ensue.
If you would have told me there was a movie called First Kid, I thought it would. For some reason, I immediately went to Kid President.
No, that would be pretty great.
Yeah.
I would watch that.
I'd watch a Kid President movie.
Yeah. But like he was in Jingle All the Way.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the best ones. But yeah, just kind of bit stuff. He never was really a headliner, but his stand-up was pretty good.
Yeah, like he had a TV show too.
Didn't he have a lot of TV
shows?
Yeah,
he had like a sitcom. He had like a sitcom.
I feel like there was a lot of running gags about the number of shows.
I mean, I know he was on that Cosby Show spinoff.
Oh, it just makes me think of that gag on Freakazoid. Tell you something scary. They're giving Sinbad another show on the WB. From the Candlejack
episode. Oh, the Candlejack episode. Yeah.
No.
Oh, no. Oops.
And then the show just ends.
That's
just
it.
Silence.
Yeah, we all just said it.
Wrong Sinbad. That's the
The pirate? The pirate. Yes. Oh man, a pirate movie starring Sinbad, the comedian.
Of Sinbad, the Seven Tales of Sinbad starring Sinbad.
That would be great.
There's a Sinbad anime.
Oh really?
Yeah. That's the story, not
the stand-up.
There's not an anime about Sinbad. But yeah. There should be.
He had a show called The Sinbad Show.
Oh, okay.
It ran from 93 to 94.
Oh, so one season.
So one
probably.
Season.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to another news story. Are we going to keep talking about Sinbad for another hour?
I mean, we could, but no, let's go ahead and move on to something else.
Movies. They're always making new ones, and now there's going to be one with Snake Eyes from the G.I. Joes.
Yeah, so this kind of came out of nowhere. I kind of had... either didn't know or had forgotten that they were making this movie.
When we definitely were not scraping the bottom of the news barrel.
Definitely not. Definitely not. But no, the news is they cast a guy named Henry Golding as Snake Eyes. He was in Crazy Rich Asians. He was in Game of Thrones, this, that, and the other. That's fine. Snake Eyes doesn't talk and you never see his face. So I don't know why they're so concerned. Just give it back to what's
Park.
His name? Ray Park. Yeah. Why not?
Maybe this is going to be like pre-tongue getting cut out Snake Eyes.
Well, then it's dumb. Why would you do that? Yeah. Like, any story that doesn't involve Snake Eyes being Snake Eyes is kind of lame.
it's just a ninja movie at that point.
They want to get in there and explain everything so he's not mysterious anymore.
Yeah.
You mean like Boba Fett?
Yeah.
Like, we got enough of a backstory in G.I. Joe, The Rise of the second one. Where
G.I. Joe the second one.
G.I. Joe the number two.
They should have called it.
Where it was the murder of his master, Hardmaster.
Yeah.
Played by what's his name from the Wu-Tang Clan?
Oh,
the RZA.
The RZA, yeah.
Yeah.
At least Cobra Commander looked like Cobra Commander in that movie.
That's true. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
It was still bad though. It was worse than the first one, and the first one was bad.
Yeah.
Man, they killed all the G.I. Joes in the movie.
Within the first scene, yeah, they killed all the ones from the first movie. Like, I don't know.
Just do a reboot.
Yeah,
man.
Just
if
start
you're
it over.
Kill everybody. Just start it over.
Just do a Bumblebee.
Yeah,
I mean, John Cena was basically a G.I. Joe in Bumblebee.
I was kind of hoping that it would end up something kind of
like
that.
It felt like they were going somewhere with it.
I mean, make a. Hey, shared movie universes are the rage these days. Do a Hasbro shared universe.
And it's been a thing in the comics for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And it was also...
Kind of in the cartoon, yeah.
Yeah, there was a episode.
Mm-hmm. Where Cobra shows up and he has a very Metal Gear name. He's called Old Snake.
Old Snake.
Which is exactly a Metal Gear name.
Mm-hmm. No, he wasn't called Old Snake. He was called... He was called, like, Viper or something.
No, you're thinking of the Viper who comes to wipe the windows. He was called Old Snake.
Yeah. Well, there's also a newscaster character that was shared between G.I. Joe, Transformers, Gem and the Holograms, and there was a fourth one, Mask.
Mask is the future of G.I. Joe, right. Though, anyway, mm-hmm. So they're really tied in.
Yeah.
Also, in the was it a cutscene where... Shipwreck is dreaming about My Little Ponies, or
was
that in the movie?
It was cut,
uh-huh.
but it did exist somewhere. Yeah.
So there's a shared universe there, and they could exploit that.
They could definitely exploit that. And unlike the Universal Monsters shared universe, the Hasbro shared universe could actually work because it actually makes sense. But yeah, anyway, this Snake Eyes movie,
who cares?
I don't care about just Snake Eyes. Give me all the G.I. Joes.
And make it funny.
Yeah.
There's so much potential for comedy in a G.I. Joe. I would love to write a G.I. Joe comedy movie. I think it would be fantastic.
The episode where Shipwreck, because he can do a perfect Cobra Commander impression mm-hmm. has to go disguised as Cobra Commander into Cobra headquarters.
Yeah.
Guys, can you imagine like a Lord and Miller
G.I. Joe? Lord Miller G.I. Joe would be perfect.
Oh,
that's exactly
so
the tone.
Yeah, that'd be so good.
That is exactly the tone they should go for.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't for some reason.
Because they're cowards.
This isn't on our list, but I just thought of it when you said Universal Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Universal's opening a new theme park.
Oh, they are.
Called Epic Universe.
Okay.
To go alongside with the Islands of Adventure and Universal Studios.
And the Harry Potter stuff.
This is probably where Super Nintendo World will reside.
Oh, cool.
And they've said that they're making there's a Universal Monsters themed area, which is sounds like where I just want to move in and live.
Yeah, that sounds pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not much more to the story than that, mm-hmm. but it's interesting.
No, that is.
Like, in the shots they've shown, there's very Mario-looking location, so it's very likely that's the U.S. home of Super Nintendo World.
Oh, man, I can't wait for that to open up.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
We're going to have to make a pilgrimage.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have to. Yeah, for sure.
Nerd Overload does Florida.
Yeah. I'll never leave. I'll go into Mario World, and I'm like, no, I've come home.
He'll go through the pipe, and we'll never find him again.
I am become home. I live here with the Koopas now.
Koopa.
I mean, we haven't really talked about Super Nintendo World. They've been kind of... There's bubblings about what the rides are. There's going to be some sort of moving seat Yoshi ride.
Oh, cool.
Where you either ride in a... It's like one of the Omnimover cars from the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
But I guess they'll make it kind of look like you're riding on a Yoshi, maybe, and then...
See, there's a term for that. I wish I knew the terms for, like, different things.
It's like a dark ride, I guess.
Yeah.
Which sounds great. I mean, yay, Yoshi.
Yeah,
you know, everybody wants to ride Yoshi. There's obviously a Mario Kart ride where the entrance looks like Bowser's Castle.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, if you're going to have a Super Nintendo World and you don't have a Mario Kart thing or like a Mario Kart go-kart thing, you're doing it wrong.
Which means there'll be two castles in this. The entry is Peach's Castle and then Bowser's Castle's in the back. So.
Oh, I mean, cool. That makes sense.
So eat that, Disney. They got two castles.
Yeah.
And there's rumors of a Donkey Kong themed zone that has a Donkey Kong minecart ride, which I imagine will just kill everyone that gets on it. If it's anything like the minecart sections in the game.
Oh,
those
are
some of my favorite levels.
Oh, they're great. Yeah.
They're great, but so difficult.
I hate the one with the swinging lights because then you got to jump, or, like, take a leap of faith into the dark.
But super stoked about that. Of course, that's not till like 2022 or whatever.
Right.
And by then, the ocean will have rose and Florida will be gone.
Everything will be a water level.
Yeah.
Well, everyone hates the water levels.
They'll open a water world themed theme park at that point. And it won't be a theme park. It'll be the lives that we'll live. Let's move on to a new topic.
Let's move on. Well, you know what? We were talking about Super Nintendo stuff. So they've released a patent for a Super Nintendo controller for the Switch. Is that right?
There's a rumor floating around that somebody saw a patent paper or whatever, a patent issued by Nintendo for a NES or a Super Nintendo themed Joy-Con.
That are like the NES ones that they already sell.
Yeah. Okay.
So that sounds like we're finally going to get Super Nintendo games on the Switch online service.
That would be so great.
And if they have the level of engineering and craftsmanship that the regular NES ones have, because I have them and they're fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I love them. And they hold a charge forever.
Oh, they've done such a good job recreating controllers for that and also for the mini consoles. They feel the same.
Yeah.
Putting those in your hands is like going back to 1994 and holding it.
Well, except for the fact that the, I don't know, I feel like the Joy-Con ones obviously feel heavier.
Yeah, because they have to have that rail on them that makes them snap into the Switch, they probably do feel a little different.
There's probably some extra components in there. Like, they don't vibrate or anything, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, they got to put the Bluetooth in somewhere.
Yep, and it feels so good.
And the mini consoles that were dead on, which is lot different than the PlayStation Classic.
Oh, yeah, you picked one of those up.
I should have mentioned this in my Check It Out. I got one of those, and the controllers, they do not feel exactly right.
Yeah. Do they feel smaller?
They're the same size and look the same in every way, but for some reason they feel weirdly lighter, and the plastic feels a little cheaper.
Are you surprised?
No. It's not a great... It's not a great console. It's okay. Like, it's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just Joe Schmo off the street and you want to play Twisted Metal again, it'll do that. It just won't be the best version of Twisted Metal you could play. It's not as good as if you had the
original.
The original, which is...
The native hardware.
Yeah, which is an issue.
Yeah, that is... Yeah.
Though, speaking of mini consoles, though, did you see where Sega is releasing, like, a first-party... Genesis mini console?
Yeah, they're doing an actually good one, and word on the street is it's fantastic.
Yeah,
like I've read a couple articles and they're really good about it, and it's gonna have like 42 games.
And they're the good ones this time.
Oh, good.
Though it doesn't have all the Genesis Sonic games on it, though.
Because there's a lot of licensing issues with the music in Sonic 3.
Really?
Yeah, that's why you never see Sonic 3.
Yeah.
Sega doesn't own the rights to the music in it somehow. They messed that up somehow.
Well, wasn't that the one with Michael Jackson?
It was, but that's not the reason why.
Oh, it's not? Okay.
Like, they have 1 and 2 and Mean Bean Machine and Spinball. And that's it. Like, they don't have, like, you know, like I said, they don't have Sonic and Knuckles. And
3. Cause, well, those are basically, they were made at the same time. Yeah. They were initially supposed to be the same game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you don't see those, is because they don't want to pay the rights for the music. I'm glad they're doing a good Sega console.
Oh, and you can also, you can go back to the main menu from the controller. You don't have to push, like, a weird button like, on the console.
That's good.
Because both the Nintendo ones do that.
It is really annoying.
And the PlayStation 1 does it, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, bummer.
The little mini console for the PlayStation is adorable, though. It looks, it's very cute and very accurate. So they got that part right.
Well, they did that right, I guess.
Just the rest of it is questionable.
Well, you were saying Tekken played like
all the frame
garbage,
rate is
right?
Garbage.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. That's a shame.
I feel like the only thing I'd really want to play on it is like Metal Gear.
Even then, you have to you don't get the DualShock controller. So it's not the best way to play Metal Gear. Honestly, the best games you can play on there, and I haven't tried these, so I don't know how well they run, is Final Fantasy VII,
because
you don't need the analogs for that. It doesn't support them.
Right.
And Wild Arms.
Oh, interesting.
Which is a classic, an undersung classic. I love Wild Arms, and I'm glad it's on there. I played a game on it that I never played before.
Yeah.
That I always thought I would like, Jumping Flash.
Oh.
It's a 3D kind of platformy game. I thought I would be into it. It's awful.
Really?
It's not good.
I remember playing Jumping Flash back in the day. I didn't care for it.
And that's the only thing they have that's close to like a 3D platformer in the whole set.
Oh, bummer.
I mean, they have Rayman, and that's not even 3D. It's a 2D platformer.
Yeah.
It really is missing that Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, but the remasters are out, so...
Yeah. But there's no way to play classic Crash Bandicoot on the remaster. You get the remaster and that's it.
Yeah.
It would be nice if there was a way to play old blocky Crash Bandicoot, but there's not.
Well, just find the old original hardware and a disc and hope for the best,
that's
I guess.
That's the only thing I don't like about those two Activision remasters, the Crash Bandicoot and the Spyro one.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to play the original game. So, like, if a kid plays it, they don't know. They don't know the difference. They've never seen the old one. They don't know where it comes from.
It still looks good, though.
Oh, yeah. They look fantastic. Oh,
there's no business looking that good.
Yeah. I got the Crash Nitro cart, or Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled, or whatever, the other day. It is freaking gorgeous. Like, it has no reason to look as good as it does.
Wow.
For a kart racing game.
And it has overly attractive female bandicoots that make you feel weird.
This one's going out to you, furries.
Yeah, but like it's like there's dragons in the Spyro ones that are too handsome.
With their really strong jawline.
Yeah. It's like, why are these dragons so handsome? It's the same with these lady bandicoots. It's like, why are they so cute? I don't like how cute they are.
All right, well, hey, we are actually at time, so let's go ahead and wrap the show up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
That's right, and we're also on various podcast catchers like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more, so you can check out all of our back episodes over there. We also have Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverloadnow. If you like the show and want to help support the show, you can check that out, and you can actually get the show a few days early if you'd like.
If you're just really chomping at the bit to get to that next episode.
I know, right?
It'll be there early.
It's there.
Hey, send us to Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. All right, and last up, we have t-shirts on sale. Just go to our main page and click the store link. We have a bunch of different stuff. They're really nice. They're very good.
They're really comfy.
Yeah, they're comfy.
They're good shirts, Brent.
They are very good shirts.
Yeah, Let me plug my game, Believe. Psychic Paranormal Adventure is on Steam. Search Believe and add it to your wish list. It'll help it be visible when it comes out so it doesn't get lost in the mire of Of the 500 indie games that are released every day on Steam.
Yeah.
I've actually been working on it a lot lately.
Oh,
so,
cool.
You
okay.
know, it's coming.
Awesome. Awesome. I can't wait for it.
Oh, Lord, it's coming.
All right. Again, you've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.